again. Hey, TJIF, happy Friday. And a couple announcements before we hear the word of the Lord this morning. First, it's a visitation day. We love visitation day. We love the possibility of new faces on this campus. So we welcome you who are visiting. We love hope, and we would love for you to be a part of it. Second announcement is, this is big. You want to be starting about thinking about this right now because it's cold outside, and you want to start thinking about spring break. And I've got good news that the trips are all planned. They're all set to go. You can see up here a list of some of the things the trips are going to focus on. They're going to all different places. You can go onto our website. Kate, what's the website? Immersion.hope.edu. And check out the trips. Check it out this weekend. Pray about it. Talk with your parents about it. On Monday, you can start signing up for trips. And I've had opportunity to go the past few years, and they're incredible. You don't want to miss it. So check it out today online, and think about it over the weekend. I don't know if you guys have stories in your family that tend to be told a lot. They kind of become folklores of the family. Well, we've got one in my family, and it involves my sister, Cheerios, and Jesus. And depending on who you ask in the family, is depending how the story gets told. I called my sister up yesterday because I wanted to get it straight since it's her story. And the story goes, as I had always heard it, was that at one point my sister said something to my mom about how she really hoped that Jesus liked Cheerios. And my mom, she was like 3 or 4 at the time, and my mom was kind of like, great, I hope Jesus likes Cheerios too. I don't know what you're talking about. I talked to my sister to give me kind of the background. She told me the full story. She said that one time she like cut her finger or scraped her knee or something, and it was bleeding. And so she asked, you know, she's 3 or 4, Mom, what's blood? What's blood do? And I guess my mom said something like, well, the blood carries the nutrients of the food that you eat to your heart. And so my sister thought about that and was like, all right, that's great. And then she connected because she knew in her head, in her mind, that Jesus, this little Jesus here, lived in her heart, right? And she, in her mind, she told me, she's like, you know, I kind of pictured Jesus kind of like in one of those snow globe things, like just floating around in my heart. Which really makes sense when you talk about it, because we talk about asking Jesus into your heart. So here's this little kid who thinks that Jesus is floating around in her heart. Food gets transferred to her heart. Cheerios. I eat Cheerios. I hope Jesus likes Cheerios because they're getting a lot of Cheerios, right? It all kind of makes sense when you think about it. And, you know, as I think about it, my sister Sarah was doing, I think, the same thing that all of us try to do. We try to make practical sense out of mind-boggling truths. What sense does it make that Jesus lives in us? And I think once we get older, we have a tendency to kind of do two things. When it no longer makes sense to us that Jesus is floating around in our hearts in a little, like, crystal ball, we're quick to either dismiss it and say, well, that just isn't true. Or we're quick to spiritualize it to the point that it has no implications for our lives now. We make it symbolic and say that it kind of is true, but, you know, not really in this way. On Sunday night, if you were here, we talked about the mystery of the faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. This is a mind-boggling truth, and it's hard to make sense of it. And I think we have a tendency to make sense of it in thinking about it in the future. And hear me clearly, Christ's life, death, resurrection, and coming again has cosmic implications, has implications for the hope of our future and our lives. And Christ's death and resurrection has implications for our lives now, every day, in very ordinary ways. I want to share this morning, I want us to hear the word of the Lord from the Gospel of John. Now, this is an encounter that Jesus' disciples had with Christ after Christ's death and resurrection. So hear the word of the Lord. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of Jesus' disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going to go fishing." And they said, "We'll go with you." And so they went out into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the shore of the beach. But the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they replied, "No." And he called out to them, "Cast your net to the right side of the boat, and then you will find some." So they cast it. And now the disciples were not able to haul it in because it contained so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that, he put on clothes because he was naked and he jumped into the sea. But the disciples came back in the boat. But the others, and they were dragging the net full of fish. They were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. And when they got ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and with bread. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught." So Simon Peter went back to the boat to drag the net in. And there were so many fish, 153 of them, but the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. And this is the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love this story for a few reasons. One, I love breakfast. Breakfast is one of my favorite meals of the day. I love that Jesus comes and has breakfast with the disciples, that Jesus sits and cooks breakfast for the disciples. I think we're quick to think, "Wow, Jesus, you just conquered death. And aren't there other things that you need to be doing besides cooking breakfast for your friends?" But see, Jesus comes into the ordinary part of their lives. Fishing and eating breakfast was a part, probably, of almost the daily part of these guys' lives. It wasn't something that was necessarily extraordinary. It was something that they did. And Christ shows up in that ordinary and makes it something extraordinary, because the very presence of Christ changes things. And can you imagine what a mind-boggling truth this was for his friends who had seen him hanging on the cross, who had buried him, and now he was here cooking them breakfast? It was this mix of the mysterious and the ordinary all at once. What do you do with that? I think it's the same for us every day of our lives. We have this idea that God shows up in the extraordinary, in the miraculous, on the tops of the mountains. And God does show up there. But most of our lives are spent in the daily, day-to-day stuff that can seem boring or ordinary. But the mind-boggling truth for us is that Christ is in us. Christ dwells in us and among us. And so even our ordinary, even our mundane, is sacred because Christ is present. So what does that mean for us? What that means is we have the opportunity every day to practice resurrection. And not because we can do this on our own, but because Christ is in us doing it. And what Christ wants us to see are the places where new life can and will spring up. And it happens in very ordinary ways. I love poet and author Wendell Berry. And he has a poem. I don't have time to read the entire poem to you, but check it out sometime. It's called Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. Listen to what he says about resurrection, because you see, the thing is, our world tries to tell us day in and day out that it's not possible, that there's a certain way to be and live. But we're called to a new life. Here's what he says. Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die. And you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery. When they want you to buy something, they'll call you. When they want you to die for profit, they'll let you know. So, friends, every day, do something that does not compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Ask the questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. And this is what he says at the end. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Every day we have the opportunity to do something that doesn't compute. And not in big and grand ways, but in little ways. In how we eat, in who we eat with, in what we talk about, in how we study, in how we practice, in how we spend our time with our friends. We have the opportunity to live into the resurrection of Christ every day, because Christ does indeed live in us. Let's pray. God, help us to practice resurrection. We cannot do it without you. Thank you for living in us as a body. Open our eyes to see you and our hearts and our minds to understand you. May we walk in your ways this day by your Spirit. We pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.